It's the 14th of March, 2016, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America. On God's good, great planet Earth, welcome to the webcast. This is your internet pastor, as weird as he may sound. He's getting older, but he'll never give up on God. And I don't think that God will ever give up on me. If God gives up on me, then he ceases to be the God that I've always believed in. All right, just a little talk with you this morning to come to this state of mind, here it is, the beginning of the day, and I'm getting ready to, it's what? I got time, and I'm readying myself to face the day. And I was thinking about a conversation that I had with someone that wants me to invest some money, to get some money, and so I can, you know, go on this extended vacation, you know, to Europe somewhere, because I've never been there. And, you know, I've studied about Europe and the Mediterranean, and, you know, Italy and Greece and all that kind of stuff, and I'd love to go and visit some of those beautiful places in Europe, just like I'd love to go visit. I haven't even visited all the places here in our marvelous country, our Canada. I'm sure they have beautiful places to see, but let's talk about a little bit now, prioritizing. How do we choose a priority thing to do? What's more important? Well, I probably won't spend a lot of money attempting to take in the adventure of going to other countries because they don't interest me now. A lot of things that used to interest me doesn't. You know, when you get older, when you turn into a senior citizen, when you get over 70, things change. You don't feel the same way that you felt about a lot of things. Since my website is, you know, communicating on a Christian level, and I want you to understand that I believe in the monotheistic God that created everything. I don't think that anything happened by chance or happenstance. No, I believe that things happened because they were orchestrated to happen. They were ordained to happen. And this ordination process starts with the mover. My philosophy students know that. There's a great mover that moves everything, and everything moves because the mover orchestrates it. I was thinking about my life today before I get started, and I don't like it. I don't like me these days. I went and had a great time, breakfast yesterday and everything, but you're just waking up this morning, making coffee, ironing some clothes in the kitchen, getting ready to get out of here. Then somebody's knocking at my front door. It's always that way. I don't even have the make peace flag flying. Somebody's knocking at my front door. And I had to give out some advice, and some of the advice that I gave out was this: maybe you need to reconsider everything. I said, because it has been like that ever since I've known the personality, and I don't think it'll ever change. Have you ever felt like you were just babysitting disaster? Yeah, that's a terrible thing to say, but it's real. Sometimes you're babysitting disaster. I need to grab my Bible, so let me do it. Oh, let me stand up. I got to walk away from the mic a little bit. I did not know. There we go. Hold on. Let me grab it. Okay. All right. My morning devotion, because I just had my devotion, and like I said, I don't like me these days. I don't like the person that I've become. Sometimes I think I've become too cynical about things. At times, looking at the human experience, I was saying to the Lord this morning, I really get tired of it. I really get tired of it. Sometimes, you know, PJ just wants to go to sleep. Really. And I guess God has me here for a reason. So I guess I'll read from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 this morning as a good devotional scripture. It reads like this. For I am now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. Paul is arguing with the church of Galatia in Asia Minor some, well, over 2,000 years ago. And he said, I'm not here to serve you. I want to talk with you evangelicals out there that thinking that your pastor serves you. No. If you were honest, he would say, I'm not serving you. He would say, like Paul, I'm serving Christ. Well, if he was serving Christ, then he would be like Christ. He would not be making all the money that he's making in America as an American pastor. If he's a true pastor, he's not taking any money from you. Oh, don't get me wrong. If he's not working a regular 5-day job a week and 40 hours a week and all that, making a paycheck, working in some kind of industry, yeah, the Bible says that if he labors at the word, then he should reap the benefits of a laborer of the word. But as he seeks to do God's business, to do God's service, he has to make it perfectly clear. As a matter of fact, wait a minute. This is what he says. I want to start up where really the argument begins. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 6. I like this whole group of scriptures here, because this whole group of scriptures really puts it on the line. It says right here, I'm amazed that you are so quickly departing him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Here, Paul is talking to the Galatian church and he says, wow, you guys just dropped off all the teachings that I taught you so quick. Now, you have to realize that they didn't have a church organization thing like we have today. He wasn't talking about you're not following the denomination and all that kind of stuff. It, very interesting. I was talking with a person that, well, no, I won't go into that because you wouldn't understand it. It's really deep, and it would make me critical of someone else's religion. And I can't be critical of religion, but I'm telling you that religion, as taught by men today, has destroyed myriad of lives, have just destroyed them. Look at this. In verse 7, Paul continues, which is really not another, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, let me say this right now. Some people accuse me of that because I don't preach with the pretense. I'm not trying to preach to get your money. See, I kind of like go along with what Paul says. I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, if I see somebody living in adultery and stuff like that, I say, you know, you got a wife and you're sneaking out on her and you're doing that. You know, I don't think that's right. As a matter of fact, I know that's not right. I never did that. I wouldn't do that. That's not right. You wait it out. You wait it out or you separate and you do this thing right. What do you think? Do you think that somebody can get married today and stay married like me for 35, 40? Yes, a lot of people do that. A lot of people find their sweethearts and they're in love with them forever. And don't we love to just talk about that on Facebook and everything? Don't we love to look at this couple? They were together 85 years and they're 120 and stuff like that. Why don't you do it? Why do you find the privilege and the pleasure in another person living like that, but you're not living like that? See what I mean? But look what it says in verse 8. But even though we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel or a message or some kind of message from Christianity contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. In other words, if somebody preaches to you against what we have taught you originally from the original Bible, that person is cursed. Now, when you look at the church today and you see what they've done with this 2,000-year-old writ, you have to really get serious with it, because that's what many of the people in the organized religion have done. They've twisted it. They've twisted it, and I'm telling you, on Sunday morning, man, Saturday, when I drive through the streets of Los Angeles, I see so many places of worship, different names. I was having breakfast Saturday morning with a friend of mine, and right next to him was looked like an evangelical Hispanic church. It was a Saturday morning, and the place was packed. We were next door having breakfast at Jack's, if you know anything about that, on Western Avenue and King Boulevard. And quite a skip. It's the first time I ate there. Very nice food, too. But right next to it, the people were in church worshiping. And as I was sitting in the car waiting on the young man to come out who treated me to breakfast, I really ended up treating him. I don't want anybody buying me anything. He said, come on, Pastor, let me take you to breakfast. I said, okay, I like that. And I ended up buying him breakfast. See, because he got those kids and grandkids, he got all that. I've always been that kind of a person. I don't need you to take care of me. I mean, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. If I needed help and you were there to help me, I'd receive it. But as long as I'm worthy, God has made me fit, I don't need anyone to care for me. I think that's the Christian way to be. But these pastors today, they feel like, yeah, you should take me to breakfast because of what I do for you and all that kind of stuff. But Paul puts it on the line. He says, if anybody comes to you and teaches you anything in verse 8 of Galatians chapter 1 that I didn't teach you, let him be accursed. This is what I ask of the Christian community. If you find that I'm teaching anything on my website that is against the Bible, would you please email me and tell me what you know that I've said wrong? And I'll resign. I say this like I said in 2002 when I first put this website up. You ever hear me say anything wrong against what God has said? I'm out. I am anathema, just like Paul said, a curse. Look at verse 9. As we have said before, Paul says, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you've received, let him be a curse. Then in verse 10, he puts it on the line. He gives the classifier for why he's saying what he's saying. For I am now seeking the favor of men or of God. See, now he's asking that in a rhetorical way. He said, what you think I'm here for? Trying to make friends with you? You think that my role, my job is to make you feel good? You think that every time I do exegesis, look, let me tell you people something. When I would do exegesis to prepare to proclaim at least a 90-minute sermon, and you can hear some of those things on my website. He said, if you think that I'm preparing that for you, for your favor, or for God's favor, and when you say what God has to say, that shakes somebody in their boots. And then he goes on with the second part of verse 10 and says, or am I striving to please men? See, the answer is no. Heck no, I'm not striving to please you. I don't care whether you felt good when you went to church Sunday morning. I got to talk to some of you people. Oh, didn't the pastor preach a wonderful sermon? If you said that, you didn't get what he was commissioned to give you. And he played with your heart. That's what he did. I know, as I said here in the Lucy Coleman studio, that God would judge me severely. He will kill me, punish me, have me screaming in pain, and I will know exactly what it's all about. And I hope I have enough sense enough to say, you are Lord, you are God, you are right, you are just. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, this, I went to church Sunday morning and didn't we had a time. That was a social event. That was something that you were doing socially. That had nothing to do with getting things right between you and your maker. You're a cheat, you're a scoundrel, you're a lie. You have a habit that you can't break. You feel just as poor as I do when I sin, but you never go to God and tell him about it. You just think, well, it'll get better one day. I got one boy around here and he thinks, well, it'll get better one day when God is ready. I said, you know what, life don't work that way. Doesn't do that. So, then he says in verse 10, if I were still trying to please men. Now, you know what that means? It means that Paul as a Pharisee was trying to please men because his particular religious group gave him marching orders to go out and kill Christians. That's when he was trying to please men, to do away with the sect, because at the time in the first century, Christianity was a first century cult. Everybody thought that true Christianity was a mad cult. A lot of people think it today. That's why they call some of these evangelicals extremists. Because if you look at the Bible and take some of these beliefs literally, I think you need to apply that where it needs to be applied. Because the Bible tells you that certain people were told to go on out and kill a group of other people because that group did not necessarily believe the way that you believe. Now, was that godly? Was that right? Of course it wasn't. He said that if I'm trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. In verse 11, he emphasizes it again. This is not about man. He said, I neither received it in verse 12 from men, nor was I taught it. But I received it, that is, the message that he was giving the first century church through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the only way for a true man of God to preach. He is not giving you what he thinks. Now look, let's get some things right here, because you see, I know who I am. You know who you are. Often I talk with men that are whorish. And I think that all of us get that way at times. I'm serious. I mean, if you're walking around thinking that you are the holy aura, you are out of your mind. I recall years ago when I was a young man and I was doing some speaking at certain Christian colleges in this part of town. Well, Master's College. And I remember that John MacArthur found out that the baseball team, that they had found some pornography on the internet on some of the computers there a number of years ago, and John set the whole baseball team down for the whole season. They couldn't play ball. You can have these rules all you want to, but men are depraved. Our natures are depraved. God knows it. I know it. That is why when I preached, when I was pastoring the church, they would tell you. When I was a young pastor, I would go in before I'd open up my mouth. I just stood there. I was waiting on God to strike me. Because I would see somebody in the church I was really crazy about. And I could barely speak for God. Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. You want a preacher that's going to tell you the truth? I saw somebody, I said, ooh. Almost shook me. And I had to, there at the pulpit, drop my head. And say to God, crucify me here. Oh, it's rough being a man of God, because you are called, if you're a true man of God, that man of God is truly called to tell people what you know they don't want to hear. And you will tell it. And if you don't tell it, and it's not about telling on you, because I just told on me. I believe, like the Apostle Paul wrote in another text, he said, of all men born of a woman, I am the most sinful of all. I've been competing with the Apostle Paul for 72 years. I want you to know this as I end up this Monday morning cast. Sunday really is the beginning of another week. And when you begin it and start it off wrong, and then Monday you get back on that job. I'm readying myself to go to school. I only have one class today. I'm going to drive out to that college if the Lord is willing. See, God may not will for me to get to the college. Let me give it to you. What do? You get up, you get dressed, you get on the train, you getting ready to go into the city. You got all these plans to do this stuff. You got a dinner date set up for later on this evening, and boom, boom, boom. You think God's not going to change your plans? Because he has fate ready to set in, like that young man that died on that motorcycle. I know his family is grieving with the loss of his life right now, but that was it for him. And it's going to be the exact very same way for us. God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. So don't get this thing in your mind that your pastor is supposed to make you feel good on Sunday. No, he's supposed to make you feel very, very bad, very, very upset, but with the joy in your heart that you are hearing from God. Well, I got to get ready, but I pray that you guys are like me on this Monday morning. Look, let's get truthful with this. I would hope and pray that I could live in such a way that God will be pleased with me, and that I would be welcome into the celestial kingdom, wherever it is, whatever it's all about, whenever I leave this life. And my God, if you have young people around you, would you please tell them that they're going to die one day? Would you? It's not an uncomfortable message. It's one that is there. I knew when I was a young man that I was going to die one day. What is the problem? Well, it's the only life that I have. Yes, so live like you got some sense. You know what? I was speaking with my daughter yesterday. And she says, Daddy, you know, people always ask me, how do you look so young and everything? And my daughter said, because I take care of myself. I don't drink myself to death. I don't smoke myself to death. I don't run the streets all night. I don't hang with people that's going to wear me out. That's why when I'm young, I take care of myself, and so when I get old, I look good. That was the intention of God. It doesn't mean that God has favored me more than he has favored anyone else. Here I am, 72 years old. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio, 23 minutes, 18 seconds into a webcast, and I'm still doing what I'm doing since I've been doing it for all these years. What is that? That is God. Now I'm asking you, what is God doing in you that is beneficial for other people? Hey, I'm serious with this. What is he doing in you that is beneficial for other people and that can help those people, those human beings, the people that can think, breathe, eat, digest food? What are you doing to assist them in their lives? Or are you secretly fooling around with somebody's life and messing with them? And some of you preachers know what I'm talking about. You're a disgusting piece of trash. And then you get up there and parade yourself. I can't stand to watch modern day preaching on YouTube anymore. I can't stand to watch it. It's so, and when I go to my YouTube clips, very few people are watching them because they're saying, what is this? That's the real deal. That's the way it looked. That's the way it was proclaimed. Oh, when was it? 7-8 years ago, a guy contacted me and he said, John, we need you to come to Atlanta to preach a church down here. I said, why? He says, because most of our young black men down here are going into crazy gay lifestyle and AIDS epidemic is off. He said, we need somebody down here preaching like you. I told him, man, I'm too old. Said, pray that the Spirit of God will move in a young man, and somebody that's going to love those guys. and not condemn them, but to love them. Let God do the condemning thing. See, God didn't tell me to condemn anybody. God just told me to preach. All right, I've done enough. You guys have a nice day today. I hope you do. As you drive to work, as you work, stop listening to these clowns that are getting rich off you, off of your superstition. And then they're going to talk about a man like me because I won't go along with their institutions. And let me say this before I cut this mic off. I never in my life thought that I would be alive to hear myself say, I don't want to go to church anymore. I never thought that I would ever say anything like that. This is the most unbelievable thing that I can hear myself saying. That's how bad it's become. I'm so sorry that the church has fallen this deep. We've fallen. I gotta go. I gotta go. God bless you. You know the drill. You stay in the word. Oh, and I'm having a few bad days because bro man is getting old and bro man's getting ill. And I think I'm about to lose my dog. But I'll be all right. That old boy's been with me a long time. Well, let me go. Love you.